This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, and welcome to the second day of Mercy Mission, and certainly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it purely for His sake, and accept from all of us, ameen, inshaAllah. Today's topic is one of the most important of all, is how to deal with the differences, and how to deal with the dilemma of disagreements, and the solutions, and so on. I'm going to look at it in a different way. Been doing this counseling for over 20 years. And the majority of time that we spend is really of marital issues. So hopefully we can learn something today. So by the end of this session, we will have a game plan. You will know about something called the root cause analysis, the method of KISS, the five-step solution. All these areas of the psychological differences we spoken about briefly last night. How to implement that. And keep in mind that you want to be part of the solution, not the problem. Please understand that we do take courses of all this background, but we turn it into Islamic by taking out the proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. So we'll know here's the science of these differences, but now put a twist, an Islamic twist to it, to bring the proof from the Quran and the Sunnah, and how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with these differences and these issues. One of the most important ones in the stories was when Aisha radiallahu anha wa allaha had a one night with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where she woke up in the middle of the evening and she looked at the side of the bed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was not there. He went to al-Baqiya. So she got out and she started looking for him. Jealous that she was, Aisha radiallahu anha wa anumat al-madmi'in al-ma'in, inshaAllah. She looked for him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw her from afar. So he wanted to know who that was, so he came back. As soon as Aisha radiallahu anha recognized that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed who she was, came back running to home. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ came back in the home, placed his hand on her heart, found out that she was the one. Her heart was going like a rabbit. She obviously found out it was her. So he asked, "Did you not trust me, O Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha?" So now Aisha is on the hook. She wants to get off the hook. What did she do? She said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "O Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, what do I say if I go visit the grave?" You will notice that women, mashallah, have a bag. We call that shantat al-rudud, you know, that the bag of answers. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam recognizes that she's on the hook. He wants to get her off the hook. The only reason I'm telling you this story is because I want you to turn the table around. And I usually give these examples because I want to ask you that very simple question. It's a rhetorical question. We don't need to answer it, but at least be honest with yourself. If you were in that position, what would you have done? Some of us would have said, "What? You're trying to get off the hook? I know the trick. No way. Come back in here. I know. Where were you going?" Some of us will do that. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no. He says, "Ya Aisha, if you go visit the grave, you will say, Assalamu alaykum dar qawm mu'mineen, antum as-sabiqoon, wa nahnu lakum inshaAllah hafoon." You say that. I'm sure most of us know the story. It is recorded in Sahih Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi. By the way, the reason we're saying this is that we listen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he is our uswa. He's our role model. He's our leader. So we take that and learn from him. We learn that he understood the language of women, as you will see in Hadith al-Ifk, of the great lie, how he also dealt with it. He recognizes that women are emotionally based, as we mentioned last night, and men are physically based, and how do you deal with these issues, specifically at the time of discrepancies? How do you deal with it? Listen again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ يُنَشَّأْ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرِ مُبِينٍ. He's talking about women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning interpretation, says that, أَفَمَنْ يُنَشَّأْ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ. Could you not see, ponder, reflect about those who were raised in hilya, lurement, no decoration? Just in case you're wondering, if you have kids, you'll find out what that means. If you have a daughter yourself, you'll find out that your daughter sneaks around. Do you think we don't know? But we know because we've been there, done that. But they don't understand that we have the advantages because we've done it ourselves. So your young daughter sneaks around, goes where? Goes to your bedroom. What does she do? She goes to her mom's purse. What does she do? She gets the makeup kit out. And after a few minutes, she looks like a lovely, lovely doll. The lipstick is down here, the eyeliner is over there. So this is أَفَمَنْ يُنَشَّأْ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ. This is how they were raised, to beautify themselves. وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مَبِينٍ. But when it comes to the khisam, to do what? To quarrel, to debate, to argue. غَيْرُ مُبِينٍ. They're not very clear, they're emotional. You see, Hadith al-Ifk explains that. Hadith al-Ifk, which was the great lie, where Aisha radiallahu anha, hashaha, of course she's innocent of that, was accused of committing adultery. The story is long, but that's not what we're talking about, but please understand how it works. When Aisha radiallahu anha found out, she did not know that for a long time, but when she found out, she was flabbergasted. She was doing something. She couldn't even finish that task. She came back, looking now for help, looking for her father. Oh father, will you not say something about it? Will you not defend me? Will you not defend your honor? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu an as-sahabat ajma'in said what? Wallahi la adri ma aqul ya Aisha. By Allah, I don't know what to say, O Aisha. Could you imagine your own father cannot even defend you? You can imagine the dilemma that she's in. She looks for her mother, no answer. She looks for her husband. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Istaghfiri Rabbik." Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sin. Imagine, could you put yourself in that position? What would you do? What would you say? How would you feel? So Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha goes away crying. By the revelation now, is her innocence is declared. Her innocence are declared. Walhamdulillah in Surah An-Nur. So now, her father comes in. But before that, what did Aisha do? She hears all these accusations, no one is defending her. And she says, Wallahi ma aqul illa ma qala al-abdu as-saliha. By Allah, I will not say anything except what that righteous slave of Allah said. What did she mean? Yaqub, jazakallahu khayra. Imagine, she could not even remember the name of a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, alayhi salatu wasalam ajma'in. She couldn't remember that. At the time of argument, she says, Wallahi la aqul. I will not say anything except that slave of Allah. She couldn't remember the name. What was she trying to do? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانَ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. May Allah give us a righteous and the most beautiful, complete patience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us in what that you attribute to us. That's what the meaning of the verse, the ayah is. Now is declared the innocence and now we know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. We made one of you to others as a fitna, a test, trial. Will you have patience? Now let us take and go into the actual field. Husband and wife. And then we'll deal with the kids. This is a message for the whole family. How to deal with differences. How to deal with the disagreements. Now, please understand that every one of us has a bag. A bag. Not a Gucci bag or anything like that, just a bag of behavior, characteristics, everything that we do. So, when you talk to each other, please understand that you're now having to deal with this whole bag of your husband or the whole bag of your wife. You cannot pick and choose. You can't pick a husband, ukhti, that he's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not custom made. As we talked about that building of dreams last night. Same here, ukhti. You cannot deal with a wife or an order of wife that is perfect in everything. And the first mistake the brothers do when they get married is what? As soon as they marry a sister that is wearing hijab or niqab, what do they think? That's it. Found gold mine. I hit the jackpot. That's it. She's an angel. Is it true? But she's a human being, akhi. If you're an angel yourself and you don't make mistakes, expect the same from your wife. So please keep that in mind. Now, when you discuss the issues, please you understand that you're dealing with this whole bag, the good, the evil, the ugly, with everything. Same with the other side. You have to make decisions. Can I live with this bag of this human being? With everything that they have and they carry? Or not? Please understand that there are certain things that you can change and certain things that you cannot change. This is where you have to make a decision. Whether you'll be able to continue or not. But you know that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu wa'ala, when he heard a man come, he says, I want to divorce my wife. He says, why? He said, I don't love her. What did he do? That's right. He slapped him upside the head. You know Umar radiallahu anhu wa'ala. That's the language of Umar. He says, what are you thinking? Do you think marriage is just built upon love? So I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep in mind that I have a message. I have a much bigger goal, a much bigger fish to fry. So how do you deal with it? Dealing with differences is very important. But please understand that we will give you the tools in order for you to be able to deal with it, inshallah. Going back to Aisha radiallahu anha, even when she was angry with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, you heard it right. When she was angry with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did she say? This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking now. He said, Wallahi ya Aisha, I know when you're happy with me, and I know when you're angry with me. When you're happy with me, you say, La wa Rabbi Muhammad. But when you're angry with me, you say, La wa Rabbi Ibrahim. Is there any difference? There is no difference. It's the same Rabb, same Lord. What did she do? She says, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, أهجرك بلساني ولكنك في قلبي. Oh Messenger of Allah, I only abandon you with my tongue at the time of anger, but you're still in my heart. So keep that in mind, ukhti and akhi. If you're angry, make sure you don't say harmful words that will come and haunt you later. Please understand that we're only human beings. No one walks around with a halo on our head. Just in case you did not hear correctly, yes, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself also had some discomforts at home. And we know about Ayat al-Khiyar. The verse that came asking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving his wives a choice. Now, I want to give you one of the biggest. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu arda, the one that you just heard about recently. But before I go to explain, I have to give you a little bit of background. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was one of the biggest, the tallest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. It is narrated that when he used to sit on a horse, his feet would touch the ground. He's the only Sahabi that migrated during the day. He took his sword out. There are some narration that others did. But he took his sword out. And he says, any of you would like their children to become orphans, for their mother to lose a son, and for their wife to be a widow, I am migrating. If you have a problem with that, I'm paraphrasing, of course. It's like, I'll see you after school. If you have a problem with that, meet me behind this valley. I'll be there waiting for you. The question is, did anybody move? None. This is Umar radiallahu anhu ardah, is the same one that men feared Umar. He was walking one day, and some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were walking behind him. All of a sudden he remembered something, and he turned around suddenly. What happened to the men behind him? They fainted. He's going to kill us. It is also narrated that one of the barbers were trimming him. And Umar just cleared his throat. You know that. He thought that he actually hurt Umar and he's going to revenge. So he urinated. This is the same Umar radiallahu anhu arda. When a man at the time of Umar being a Khalifa went to knock on his door. To do what? To complain about his own wife giving him hard time. And you're talking about Umar. Now we know who Umar is, radiallahu anhu arda. This man is coming to complain about his own wife to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar. Just before he knocks on the door, what does he hear? He hears Umar's wife giving him a hard time. So he turns around, walks away. So Umar opens the door, radiallahu anhu, and he says, "Ya hadha, come here. Where are you going?" He says, "No, that's okay. I thought I had some issues." So Umar recognizes, so he says, "Come here. Ya akhi." She looks after the food, she looks after the children, the clothes, the home, my lust, my whims and desires. She's my partner in life. Will I not have some peace with her? That is Umar. If you're better than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you're stronger than Umar, Allah help you, inshallah. If not, then we listen, inshallah. So now what is this art? The art of dealing with one another. The art of solving our issues. And remember, I call them issues or concerns, not problems. It is only to get to a stage where you cannot find a solution to this concern or an issue, it becomes a problem. But please remember, you want to be part of the solution, not the problem. So here we go. Let us find out, inshallah, how to deal with it. First, you have to plan it. Plan the argument in your mind. Have a roadmap to discuss. Make sure you use something called KISS. So hopefully after the argument you will get it, inshallah. Keep it short and simple. This is for the sister specific, Yukhti. As you heard last night, the attention span of men are much shorter than women. So if you start talking, you will lose us. For example, you would ask your wife, what did the plumber say? She says, you know, he came in here at 10 o'clock and she started talking about his background. And he said, I was born in this country and he was married to this and I have 3 kids. And you know, he came up and he said, the country is going to... Huh? You know that puppy look? He's going to lose us. While we're asking, what did he say? Can I fix it? Yes or no? How much? We don't want a story. Very simple. Right. So now, make sure, ya ukhti, when you deal with your husband, I want you to deal with it with the same, Umm Sulaym. Remember the story? Abu Talha radiallahu anhu arda was on a trip. I'm sure you know the story. Just a reminder, inshallah. But I'm giving you this because remember, we're going to turn the science into the Quranic and the Sunnah, and these with it were who we are. He was on a trip. On that trip, his son died. On the way back, that righteous wife wants to tell him that his son died. How did she do it? How would you have done it, Ukhti? Hey, Abu Talha. Assalamu alaikum. I missed you very much. Your son is dead. Nice talking to you. Please come in. Enjoy the rest of the evening. La wallahi. What did she do? Recognizing what? Please keep in mind that I'm going to talk about certain things. I will ask you about it later, inshallah. The first thing she did, beautified herself. She prepared food. She dimmed the lights. And then, she had an intimate relationship with him at night. In the morning, did she tell him right away? No. She gave him an example. A hujjah, a plea. She said, if our neighbors had given us something, they entrusted it with us. If they came to ask for it back, should we give it to them? He said, yes. He says, استودع الله في ابنك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the amana, your son. Even though he complained to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rest of the story is there, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua for them, and he granted them children again, alhamdulillah. But the moral of the story is, Ukhti, that woman, a smart intellectual woman, recognizes that man is a physical. What she was working on, listen again, she prepared the food, she beautified herself, dimmed the lights, had intimate relations with him. In the morning she paved the way, and then she told him, what is she working on? Senses. She's working on senses. Physical human being. Remember when I was talking to you about Aisha radiallahu anha wa I'm talking to you now, akhi. What was Aisha working on? Emotions. Please understand that. You have to recognize that you're dealing with a human being that is a ball of emotion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her that way. So she can look after you, she can look after your children. You have to recognize that, celebrate that, and also reward that. So now we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized that Aisha is an emotional being and dealt with it the same way. You also, Ukhti, have to understand that your husband is a physical being and deal with him in the same way. So let us sit down and talk. Here's what the roadmap to it, inshallah. First, please understand that you are going to talk about behaviors, not a person. So when you sit down and discuss, please take this word out. You are a terrible man. You are a terrible woman. Doesn't help anyone. But you are going to discuss behaviors. This behavior is unacceptable. You are a good human being. Otherwise, blame yourself for marrying that guy or marrying this girl. So what do? I want to give you that sandwich again, as I mentioned last night briefly. The sandwich of arguments. The top layer is positive. In the middle, where is the beef? You take your beef out with this guy or with this girl. This is the stuffing. Your message is in the middle. And the bottom of that bun is the desserts. So positive, negative, or whatever the message is, and end up with positive again. For example, you know, honey, how much I love you. But I have an issue or concern with our financial situation. But I'm sure, and I have a lot of trust in you, that we can work on this together. Now listen to the other one. I won't go there. I'm sure what happens in your homes. So it's enough, I'm sure. So please understand that you are working on the same team. You're on the same team. So what is the word I want to get out of it? Get that word I out. and get the word we in. Psychologically, it puts them on the same team. We need to work on this. Because you're on the same team. And I'm sure all of you know this. Pointing the fingers. I'm sure all of you also know that when you point one finger out, how many pointing at you? Three. So every time you point the finger to someone, please point the finger to yourself first. It looks like a gun, doesn't it? Not a good thing. Please understand that we are looking for root cause analysis. When I have a couple in my office, when they come and tell me, my husband doesn't do this, or my wife doesn't do that, you know what I keep asking them? The five why theory. Why? Because my goal is to get them to come up with the game plan and get them to come up with the answers. I can tell them what to do, but we will lose out on something called the buy-in procedure. Buy-in procedure. I'll tell you about it, inshallah. So when I sit them down, I say, why? What am I looking for? I'm looking for the root cause analysis. I'm not looking for the end result, or I want to give them a band-aid solution. It doesn't work. For example, remember the story I told you about the woman that complaining about her husband last night? And the husband complaining about us? What would we do? We went to the root cause of the problem, not the end result. So we're looking for the root cause, why it happened. For example, when that woman was looking for a solution for her husband, we said you have to first look at yourself and ask yourself really the reason. Like I received an email that my husband is looking outside and all that stuff. So I asked the sister, why do you think he's doing that? Not that we condone this, but why do you think he's doing that? And you'll find out that the sister is just like another man in the house. I'm just being blunt with you on certain issues. We don't have enough time, but I would have weekly sessions with you, and I'll tell you about the life coaching program and the life wheel and all that stuff. Long-term plan, you know, strategy, and so on. But what do you think, Bukhti, the man doesn't want to stay at home for? I will give you one reason, and one for you, one for him. Number one on the list of the man. Who can tell me from the sisters? What is number one on the list of the man? What is he looking for? Number one. Any of the sisters know? Don't worry, your turn is coming. I'll ask you too. You're not off the hook. So you better be thinking now, what's number one for her on her list? Any of the sisters, what is number one on the list of the man, Ukhti? What is he looking for? Number one on his list. It's okay, I'm here till the 12th. I have time. Take it down. Number one on his list, believe it or not, is respect. It's true. If the man does not feel that he is respected, he does not want to be in that place that he is not respected at. Now you're on the hook, akhi. What's number one on her list? Appreciation?
Stubbornness?
Are you married, akhi? I'm sure he's not married. We'll talk. Who's not married here? Allah musta'an. I know I was telling the brothers, some of the... Who's got the two wives? A brother? Oh, that's him? Allah help you, Allah. Okay, we won't go into politics. We'll just keep this a family show, inshallah. Now, I haven't received the answer yet.
Understanding?
Love. Who's that? You?
I love you, man.
You married?
Yes.
MashaAllah, he's well trained. MashaAllah, 10 years, you'll go far. It's true. Number one on her list, akhi, is love. I see the brothers writing this down, MashaAllah. Good for you, man. Good for you. Learn. So please understand the human being you're dealing with. It is that crucial for you. Please understand, as soon as you put a man down, what happens to him? I want to give you an example. It's like the snake in that corner. He will bite. He'll defend his territory. He needs to know he's the man of the house. As soon as he loses respect, what happens? The jungle rule comes. How does he drown you? With the voice. The jungle, the guy that's been working out, things comes out and they were like, you know, the physical threat. The voice is loud. He's drowning you, ukhti. He's reasserting his position. This is psychological. What does she do? How does she get you back? You know, the big round eyes. And all of a sudden, you're like this. You go, oh. You know, Puss in Boots, you know, that Shrek movie that you got, that guy that, you know, not just me. I watch that movie. Apparently, you guys don't watch even Disney. Okay, mashallah, alhamdulillah. The idea behind it, akhi, please understand the differences. Recognize them and change them. In order for you to change them, you will have to know something called the triangle of change. The triangle change, I use this in corporate, inshallah. It's called the triangle of change because it has three reasons for it. One is a message. You have to have a message. So you're dealing with the message. You need to relay this message onto your partner. And when you have the message, you need to communicate this message. But how will you communicate this message? Me, Tarzan, you, Jane. I say jump, you say how high. Is this the way you're going to communicate this message? Allahu Akbar. No. How did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Even when Aisha radiallahu anha was jealous with certain things, what did she do? Even Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when did she gather together? I mean, you know the story. When even the honey came through, Aisha got upset and she broke the pot. How did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognize that and deal with it? Recognize that she's emotional, she's jealous. And how do you deal with it? He says, غارت أمكم. غارت أمكم. Your mother is get jealous. And he was fair and calm and dealing with it. He says, it is only fair that you replace that pot with one of yours. So communicate the best way possible. In a calm manner. So the message, you're going to communicate the message. And the last method is, Reward for both sides. Believe it or not, ukhti, a man is full of, it starts with an E. Ego, you're right. Ego is good. You know, you can actually hear your husband is doing really well in business, successful, famous, whatever it may be in their field. But what is he looking for, Miyukhti? You take it for granted, for example, and don't recognize that. But what is he looking for? Who's number one fan? His wife. You're right. He wants to hear it from you. Believe it or not, that will, you become his number one fan. But if you, one another of course, if you accuse each other of ruining each other's lives or put each other down, it becomes the exact opposite. It's detrimental for your husband, ukhti, not to believe in him. Given that sometimes we make stupid decisions, not sometimes, most of the time, let me correct myself. Now your wife, what do you learn from? Khadija radiallahu anha. Not that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, astaghfirullah. I'm just talking about how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with Khadija. You know when he was concerned, as soon as he saw Jibreel alayhi salam, what did he do? Yaki, when you're concerned, where do you go? You go to your posse, right? You go to the hood. You go to that, the brothers. He says, hey man, you don't believe what happened to me? Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went to his best friend. We go to our best friend, it's true. Who was his best friend? Khadija. Allahu Akbar. That is exactly what we're looking for, akhi. You're looking for a best friend that's a wife. That's your best friend. So he went in, what did she do? She reasserted the fact that he's on the right track. لا والله لا يخزيك الله أبدا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you down. You do 1, 2, 3, 4. What did she do, أختي? She re-emphasized the positive. Even though that time he was a little bit concerned. زملوني زملوني. He was shaken. Cover me, cover me. Your job, أختي, is that you are that shoulder we cry upon. You're the one that we are, we drop our guards. We come to you bearing our soul. We come to you as, yes, a little kid. It's true. So my advice to the sisters, how many of you have kids? Any of your sisters have children? Okay, how many children do you have, Ukhti? 3. Now, keeping what I just said in mind, how many children do you have, Ukhti? I'll repeat. The sister has 3 children. You got 4 kids now, Ukhti. You got it. Please keep that in mind. If you have 3 children, Ukhti, and you have a husband, how many children do you have? 4 children. You're right. Never forget that. Because really, we're just a big kid. Wallahi, we haven't grown yet. We won't grow. We don't want to grow. We don't believe we can grow. Inside, we're just kids. Now, please understand that it may sound funny, but it's crucial. It's very important. These things, understanding the psyches, understanding that to put it into the difference between the two of you, I haven't even touched the differences between the children. I don't have enough time to go into all of this. But the most important ones is between the husband and wife for now. But there's lots that we cover, inshallah, and discover in the rest of it. But inshallah, some other time we'll talk about it. But please understand that when you have differences, does that mean the end of the world? No. You can live with your differences. Now, agree on certain things. Put a game plan on how you can address them together. Communicate. You have to have communication open. And when it's done, please understand, I want you to put them down in black and white. Why do I ask you to put them in black and white? Because of the higher percentage of you doing it. Because if you hear something, you get a percentage. If you see something, you get a percentage. You talk about it, you see something, you get a higher percentage. If you write it down, you get a higher percentage. So if you hear it, see it, say it, write it down, you will get a much higher percentage. Who will put the game plan? Yourselves. You have 3 priorities. All I ask the couple to do is tell me about your 3 top priorities. We actually give them a wheel. They'll tell us all about what's going on. But we'll take the first one. In the last 5 minutes, I will leave you with that theory, inshallah, and hopefully you can work it out. The first thing you want to do is decide what is number 1 priority for you by asking your partner. Please implement the 6 Sigma theory in your marriage. By doing what? We used to do something called SIPOC. I'm sure some of you are trained in 6 Sigma. Any black belt here? Any of them? Good. All right. I'm not talking about... Oh, not that black belt, man. The 6 Sigma is a study. We usually ask for SIPOC. And then we take that to ask the end user. Ask the end user. We take each other for granted. This is the reason she's upset. This is how I'm going to make her happy. Does it work? No, because you have not spoken to her, akhi. So what I'm asking you is to speak to your wife. Speak to your husband, ukhti. It's going to be more difficult for you to speak to your husband because, again, it's going to be a challenge for you to speak to this man that he has a couple of things on his mind. What are they? Food and something else. That's basically it. So you have to find the key. What's the key? You hold the key, ukhti, to your husband. It's true. You hold the key. Now we also learn. We learn from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every one of us has a key. For example, Rukana radiallahu anhu warda. What was his key? Wrestling. You're right. Rukana was the champ of wrestling in the Jazeera, the Arab Peninsula. How did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speak to him? In his language. He spoke to him in his language. How did he bring him in the fold of Islam? He said, if I wrestle you, Rukana, will you become a Muslim? He said, yeah, Muhammad, alayhi salam, don't embarrass yourself in front of your companions. And the story is longer, but we'll just, after Prophet Muhammad salam beat him, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Rasulullah. Now, how did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam deal with Uthman radiallahu anhu? Bashfulness. He lowered his thawb. How about the father of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu warda? His at'abta. He says he made him go through difficulties. We supposed to go to him. Abu Bakr Siddiq. But when he talked to Umar, how did he talk? He grabbed his shoulders, and what did he do? He shook him. Is أَمَا أَنَا لَكَ أَنْ تُسْلِمْ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ Isn't it time for you to become a Muslim, يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ So you know, you're the only one that knows the key for your husband or your wife. You know why I know that, أختي? Because I know how we can actually turn this man on or off. It's true, the key is in your hand. You're a smart woman. Because you know, okay, I know this ticks him off. 1, 2, 3, and you poke. But this makes him what? This makes him happy and smile. Go. This one usually want. Okay, I won't go there. But please understand the keys. The keys are important. I'm trying to be as politically correct as possible. And I see some kids in the audience, so I want to be a consumer of the family show, inshallah. So the end result is what? A solution. In your mind, you're not trying to fish for faults. Fish for faults does not work. It's a terrible beginning with a terrible ending. You should have an understanding. You should have something as a goal. What is your goal? I want to be... I actually asked the brothers sometimes, Ya akhi, your wife will be this and that, and they look to heaven. When I go to the sisters, ukhti, you know, in heaven, inshallah, it was, they say, you know what they say? So, do I have to be with him in heaven also? How bad do you have to be, man, that your wife doesn't want to be with you in heaven? Allah help you. But if you make that decision, ukhti, they will be, wallahi, they will be very beautiful, like Yusuf alayhi salam. And they won't, anyway, inshallah, this is another topic altogether, but look for that. This is going to be your wife in heaven. This is going to be your husband in heaven, inshallah. Think with that optimistic way. Think you want to be resurrected with Khadija, ukhti. Think you want to be resurrected with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With that spirit, and there's not much to share with you, but unfortunately we're out of time. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reconcile our differences. Mend our hearts, unite our goals, make our homes to be a sweet home, inshallah. As you see it right here, I'm plugging in myself now. Home, sweet home. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know Ukhti that you're raising your hand. Do we take questions or are we going to have another session after? Can we take questions? Or okay, Ukhti, go ahead please. Boundaries. Yeah. Okay, let me understand the question first. I apologize, but please forgive me. As I talked earlier in my speech, please recall that we have a very short attention span. So if you wish that this poor slave of Allah would answer your question, please put it in a point form. 1, 2, 3. It starts with what, why, where, when, the W5, or who. Please repeat it in a format which I will understand and decipher, inshallah. What is the question? I got the question. I don't want to lose it. You know, things are starting to evaporate. You know, the smoke coming out of my hair. You understand now, the point is proven and you know how we feel. Alhamdulillah. the sister is asking, why should we bribe anybody? Because the taqwa in the Quran and the Sunnah are there established. Steps 1, 2, 3, 4. Wallahi ya ukhti, you're absolutely right. Jazakallahu khairan, beautiful reminder. But I want to ask you a question. Why are we called insan? Subhanallah. Summiya al-insan bi-insan min al-nisyan. This word insan in Arabic comes from that derivative from nisyan. The root cause, what is it? The word is forgetfulness. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَذَكِّرْ, remind them, إِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it surely will benefit the true believers. Why do you think, أُخْتِي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jannah and the hellfire, وَلِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, and all that stuff in the Quran? It is that carrot and stick, أُخْتِي. It's the same thing for us. Just to remind each other. You know why? We know what's right and wrong. But what is the issue? It is a behavioral issue, Ukhti. It's a behavioral issue. Most of us know what's right and what's wrong. But it's just a behavior issue that we need to tweak and come up on that, a roadmap, inshallah. So hopefully that will be it, Ukhti. It's true. Sometimes, I'm going to leave you with one banner. Please write, tuktab bisawad al-ayn. This should be written with a gold leaf. Please don't ever forget. If I leave you with anything tonight, or today, where are we now? I'm in Australia. Yes, I'm sorry, forgive me. Last night I was like, really, I was telling the kids, like I felt like I was on drugs, man. I don't do drugs, please. Erase that thing out of there. You will blackmail me with that. And I give credit to Sheikh Tawfiq, but he travels that. Allah help you, Mullahi. The banner is, please don't ever forget this. إِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ تَعْصُوا اللَّهَ فِينَا نَحْنُ نَأْبَى إِلَّا أَنْ نُطِيعِ اللَّهَ فِيكُمْ. Which means, if you refuse but to disobey Allah in treating us, we refuse but to obey Allah in treating you. You know I will be asking about it later on, so remember it. I'll repeat it one more time. إِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ تَعْصُوا اللَّهَ فِينَا نَحْنُ نَأْبَى إِلَّا أَنْ نُطِيعَ اللَّهَ فِيكُمْ. If you refuse but to disobey Allah in treating us, we refuse but to obey Allah in treating you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. Wa akhir da'wam, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'een. Jazakumullah khair, wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.